Okay, can you help me understand something else? I didn't go to an Ivy League school, admittedly. What can you explain why the word folks is spelled F-O-L-X throughout this guidebook and in other places at the School of Social Work? What does that mean? A serious question.
They don't know how to spell? I mean, I'm not familiar with that spelling.
I'm not. I don't find it a laughing matter.
No, I'm not laughing either. I think it's.
You're denying that this is a official product of the school, but this is handed out to all of you. You are aware that it's handed out to all of your students, and you're not doing anything to stop it.
As I said, it's not an official product of the administration.
Is this how Columbia University spells the word folks?
No.
Okay.
I should be back in soon. The worst people on the internet.
This is mostly a protest, but fires have been started.
Rich, entitled nepo babies.
How are you, baby? How old are you?
I don't know.
People should not be walking around with masks.
Russian disinformation.
Stewards.
This was a useful exercise in pushback against what we call the culture wars. That was Columbia's president. That was Rep. Jim Banks, as she testified this morning to accusations about anti-Semitism at Columbia. Currently, there is a solidarity camp on campus that they're now saying will be cleared out, reminiscent of Occupy. Some of the props in this camp include paragliders, which we know is a direct reference to Hamas paragliding into a music festival and murdering over 1,400 innocent men, women, children, and the elderly, which also included rape, torture, beheading, and kidnapping. This is a perfect example of how they implement this shit. They allow this shit to just fester. Again, changing of language, changing of terminology that hasn't existed in the English language for hundreds of thousands of years. And they just suddenly start making up words like folks, Latin, or Latinx, or any of this stuff. Because they just somehow believe it to be inclusive, when in fact the people from these backgrounds, these ethnicities, are just kind of like, hey, can you just stop calling us that? The privileged, white, progressive, elite, institutionalized of these terminologies. Oh no, we're going to call you this now. You'll like it. No. Well, sorry, you're Latin now. Okay. Can you not? No, you are. We know what's best for you. And Banks is referencing like a university guidebook. And as well as somebody found on the website, a page has been taken down where these terms were just littered all over the campus website. So they implement this because they don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, which is what this is ultimately all about. They implement this stuff, and then people go, hey, what is this? I don't know. And then they feign ignorance about it. Right here, you actually had a campus university president tell a member of Congress, maybe my students are too stupid enough to spell the word folks. They can't spell. If you caught that part. This is literally the excuse Columbia's president is saying. I don't know why they're putting that stuff in the literature, the campus literature, with our branding and our letterheads. Maybe they're just can't spell. And that's, if I'm Jim Banks, I go right at that and I go, ma'am, are you suggesting that your own student body can't spell the word folks? Perhaps we need to stop federal funding to Columbia University if you have 19, 20, 21-year-olds, 22-year-olds who can't spell the word folks, as you were insinuating right there. That's what I would have said. That's one thing where he kind of blows past that answer. So they implement this stuff, and then people go, hey, wait a minute. And then they're like, oh, I don't know what that came from. This is similar to, again, inserting gender theory ideology into elementary school libraries. And then when we notice, when parents notice, hey, why is my child, my third grader, being exposed to literal gay propaganda and pornography at an elementary school? Fine, parents want to order this book for their kid at home. Fine, if they get into high school, college, they can read this stuff. But my kid's like 8 years old. My kid still believes in fucking Santa Claus. And why is this in the library? Oh, well, you know, we're trying to be inclusive. And, well, I don't know how that got there. And they do this every single time. And then when you notice it and you push back at it and you go, this is lunacy. Get this shit out of here. It's a culture war. I think this is one of the most incredible responses from a witness I've ever heard. It's not hyperbole. The president of Columbia University. I don't know. Maybe my students just don't know how to spell a five-letter word. Right there, she should have to resign. If that's really what you're telling us, that the reason why this language is so pervasive over the entire university is because they don't know how to spell, as opposed to she's copying to us to where, well, it's inclusive language and we just want everyone to feel welcome here. And this is kind of this whole generation summed up. They bring this TikTok shit into schools. Teachers allow this and they, you know, they hang up the pride flags or they hang up the BLM flags and they litter their classroom walls with this shit. And then they just go along. My pronouns are Zizay. Okay. Xanderpuss, you're Zizay. Sure. And then the shit is allowed to fester into high schools and then into college campuses where it's even encouraged. Maybe my student body just doesn't know how to spell. Banks says, I don't find this to be a laughing matter. And then she goes on to say, oh, I'm not laughing either. I don't know. It's like you genuinely believe your students don't know how to spell the word folks? Is that what you're telling me right now? Ultimately, this is the only way this nonsense stops, because these people are never actually confronted with this. These deans and administrators don't actually say to them, you know, these aren't actual words, right? Because again, they don't want to hurt feelings. This is an entire generation raised on feelings. And very rarely are they told, cut your bullshit, throughout their entire lives by anyone in their lives. And as I've stated before, like the Be Like the Boy episode of The Simpsons, ultimately an entire society or generation raised on feelings ultimately just falls apart. And that's, to me, kind of what this whole the whole pronoun push was about. When somebody introduces and they say, my pronouns are this, you're demanding respect. You're demanding to be addressed a certain way. When you meet a stranger, there's no such requirement to be made of anybody. And that's always been the problem with this. Here you have official campus literature with made-up words. And here's a campus president. Oh, if they want to do that, that's okay. They're not hurting anybody. And then when the outside world confronts her on it, they don't know how to spell. I don't know. And this is why these echo chambers and these campus bubbles exist, because they know how crazy this is. And they know how this looks to, say, again, people on the outside, people like Banks or people like you or me, where it's like, why, what are you doing here? And it's why they shut off dialogue, and it's why they censor speech, and it's why they cut off, say, comments to tweets or posts, and it's why they cut microphones. Currently, as I noted, at this woman's campus that she oversees and runs is basically a autonomous zone. They've set up tents, liberation zone. They have signs for free Palestine, free Gaza, et cetera, et cetera. Right now in the United States, as we're seeing on some of these campuses and other protests, there are screams of death to Israel and death to America. And we've never seen this before in our history. Journalist Gerald Beer noted, as I said, that there was a website, socialwork.columbia.edu, about /DEI diversity, equity, inclusion resources, affinity-based resources. And we've heard this term a lot as it pertains to NPR, and we're going to hear more about NPR today. It says, for Latinx folks, LatinxFolx, It says, please refer to this working document for a list of all resources that will be periodically updated by the Office of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion. And that webpage has now also been deleted. This was something that Gerald archived, but also still appeared on the website in their screenshots. Columbia School of Social Work, sponsored by the Office of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion. This event is so collectively celebrate and share authentic narratives of Black, Indigenous, and people of color, BIPOC, experiences to counter the dominant narratives that perpetuate the stigmatization and oppression of BIPOC folks, F-O-L-X. The event features a panel of four speakers with various identities, all with a commitment to seeking and supporting equity for historically marginalized populations. They will share their personal stories, perspectives, and shared histories of intergenerational trauma within their respected communities and strategies for sustaining inter-heritage solidarity, activism, and healing. Learn more about the speakers on the registration page. Speakers are Brian Brayboy, PhD, Vice President of Social Advancement, Arizona State University, Kara Page, Black feminist queer culture worker, curator, and organizer. I bet she gets a paycheck. Linda Sarzour, award-winning racial justice and civil rights activist. If you recall, Linda Sarzour had to resign from the Women's March group over accusations of anti-Semitism. Valeria J. Martinez, justice, equity, diversity, and inclusion consultant and keynote speaker. Another woman who seems like she receives a healthy paycheck from all of this. Columbia AP Psychiatry.org. Another part of their website, Transgender Day of Remembrance, was founded in memory of Rita Hester, a Black transgender woman who was murdered in an act of anti-transgender violence in 1998. Since the first Transgender Day of Remembrance in 1999, the day has been embraced by many cities and countries around the world. Each year, folks, F-O-L-X, a gender-inclusive term sometimes used to refer to LGBT+ communities, gather to honor the lives of individuals whose lives were lost to anti-transgender violence that year. We also honor the unknown lives lost to anti-trans violence as we acknowledge that many of their stories go unreported, particularly in the case of Black, Indigenous, people of color, BIPOC individuals. So when they implement all of this language and they let it go, their goal is that nobody will notice, and if anybody points it out, you're a bigot. Except now she's in front of Congress, and we see this time and time and time and time again. That when they have to sit in front of Congress and answer for someone who is not in their academic circle, they look like complete fucking idiots. Because her genuine excuse is, we don't use this language. Yes, you do. It's here, 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 and here. It's in the student guidebook. It's all over that. And it's on your website there, 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 and there. What's going on?
They don't know how to spell.
And we expect them to be taken seriously then. That would have been my answer. If your students don't know how to spell the word folks, why are we giving you federal funds? Why are you even a university? What are you doing? That's how I would have answered that, but this was just, here's, again, just common sense and logic. Why are you spelling the word this way? Why is this all over your website and your literature? What's going on here? That's not how this word is spelled. That's not what this is.
They're just stupid.
And that reflects greatly on me as the president of Columbia University. You've been listening to the Versus Media podcast, free member version. To get the rest of the podcast, additional segments, as well as comments, questions answered on the podcast as part of the community, please consider joining one of my three subscriber tiers. There's a monthly, then there's a yearly, and then there's a founding tier as well, which I will participate in chats with members weekly and offer some other perks. You're always, of course, welcome to stay a free member here, and there's, of course, no obligation to subscribe. But you should, because that's where all the fun actually happens. This is the Versus Media podcast on Substack. And as usual, don't ever talk to journalists.